giving of the land to the last, it would be, let's see if I can do my math right. There are 12 tribes of Israel, 2.5 of the tribes inherited land on the east side of the Jordan River. And that meant that God was still dealing with 9.5 tribes. And this morning we looked at all of those tribes with the exception of the Levites. We just mentioned them a little bit. We're going to be looking specifically at the Levites this afternoon. And there's some really interesting lessons that we can learn from the tribe of Levi. Let's begin by turning to chapter 21 and read the following. And then came near the heads of the fathers of the Levites unto Eleazar the priest, and unto Joshua the son of Nun, and unto the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And they spake unto them at Shiloh, in the land of Canaan, saying, The Lord commanded by the hand of Moses to give us cities to dwell in, with the suburbs thereof for our cattle. And the children of Israel gave unto the Levites out of their inheritance at the commandment of the Lord these cities and their suburbs. And we'll look at those in just a moment. Let's just bow for word of prayer. Father, we come before you this afternoon. Lord, we pray that you speak to us through your word. Help us to understand that even though we may make mistakes and do things wrong, you are a God who, when we come before you and confess our sin and turn from our wicked ways and turn to you, you are a forgiving God who can restore that which the locusts have eaten. And Father, you have done it many times in the lives throughout the history of Israel. And Father, you've done it in the lives of your people even today. And Lord, we pray now that you just be with us, help us to learn, help us to see that you are a God who desires to work through our hearts and lives and restore that which Satan desired to destroy. Speak to us this afternoon, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned this morning, there are just a couple things that I forgot to mention that are kind of interesting, just as a sidelight before we really get into the Levites. Roberta and I were talking at lunch, and I said, you know, it's interesting if you look at Judah, who is the inherited the oldest right, oldest position within the house of Jacob or Israel, he was the one that was given the blessing, and or the birthright rather, and the birthright was that he became the spiritual head of that family, and through him would have eventually come the Messiah. Joseph was the oldest son of Rachel. Jacob took the position of the oldest son of Leah, but Joseph was the oldest son of Rachel, and Joseph received a double portion in the land. And that you this morning when we were going through all the tribes of Israel and their inheritance and looking at where they inherited within the land, you did not see the name Joseph. However, you did see Ephraim and Manasseh. Ephraim and Manasseh were the sons of Joseph, and he received a double portion, which was what the one who would receive the blessing would receive a double portion from the father. And so in essence, Joseph received the blessing, Judah received the birthright, and then that brings us to the last tribe, Levi. This morning we saw that Simeon and Levi had done something that was very awful. This was back when they were coming into the land with their father. They were coming from Padan Aram back into the land of Canaan to settle down and live. And they came to a city that was called Shechem. And the prince of Shechem, whose name was Shechem, had really raped their sister Dinah. And then Levi and Simeon, to get even, went to him, and he came to them actually and said, he realized what he'd done was wrong and he wanted to marry her. And they said, well, you can't marry her unless you are circumcised and unless you become one of us. And all the men of your city have to be circumcised. And really what it was, they had no desire to really share the gospel with him. They had no desire that he would come to follow the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but rather they wanted to be able to weaken the city so that they could go in and kill them all in revenge for what he had done to their sister. And that's exactly what they did. Shechem and his father and every man in the city agreed to that. And when they were in their weakened state, Simeon and Levi came in and killed them. Because of that, what happened is God said they weren't going to have an inheritance in the land when they came into the land of Canaan. And they did not inherit a block of land like their brothers. This morning we saw that Simeon had to be scattered amongst the tribe of Judah, in that his inheritance was within Judah's inheritance, and he had to rely upon his brother. Levi, on the other hand, is an interesting story, and we're going to look at Levi this afternoon. We know that Levi had been involved in this horrible act, and God judged him for it. There were real consequences. I want you to understand that things that we do have consequences. There is real cause and effect. We live in a world today where they say there is no cause and effect. Things just happen. And if there is any cause and effect, you can't be any part of it. My degree, as I mentioned before, was psychology. Psychology teaches that everything that happens to you is somebody else's fault. It's not really yours. And there's really not much of a cause and effect as far as you can't really do anything about it, except kind of just accept what's happening to you and blame somebody else for it. And we're seeing that that's really become the theme of our culture, as everybody blames everybody else for everything that's happening to them and says that they deserve everything, even though they may really be deserving nothing. And part of it is we don't think that there's any effects to the things we do. And you see that today. Things that people say, all the way from our politicians to people on the street, they say things that are very hurtful, and they don't even realize sometimes, I don't think, what they're saying and how the full impact of what they're saying. And they're saying that they believe that the saying, sticks and stones may hurt your bones, but words will... sticks and stones may hurt your bones, but words will never hurt you, or something to that effect. But it's really not true, because words can be very painful and words can have an effect because they can cause something to go into motion. And we see here that God is showing us that there are real causes to the things that we... There are real effects to the causes, causes to the things that we do, and cause and effect works in his scheme. Our sins have consequences. The sin of Levi and Simeon had a real consequence in time and space. It occurred initially in that their father was very, very upset with them. But the real impact came literally years later when they came into the promised land and they didn't get an inheritance like their brothers. And it all came because of the effect of what they had done. And their sin had an impact. And God wants us to understand that. The things we do have real impacts, not only in our lives, but others. Now, Levi and Simeon, neither one of them were alive, but their descendants were alive. And the impact was on their great-grandchildren, their great-great-grandchildren, their great-great-great-grandchildren, in that they did not receive the inheritance that would have been theirs had not Levi and Simeon done this act way back. We see that things do have an impact, and things that we do can have an impact on others in our lives. And so we need to understand that. But also, I want you to understand and look this afternoon that God is a gracious God, and God is a forgiving God, and God can deal with things that have been put in motion by us, and forgiveness result and make a change. If you turn with me to the book of Exodus, and I made reference to this a little bit this morning, I want to look specifically at the text that deals with this, and that is the events that transpired during the time that Moses went up on the mountain to get the law from the Lord. Moses had been up on Mount Sinai, and he'd been up there for an extended period of time, 40 days. And as he was up there getting the law from the Lord to bring down to the people became restless. They thought Moses wasn't returning. They began to think we would be better off if we would have stayed in Egypt. Let's worship the gods of Egypt once again. They had Aaron, who was of the tribe of Levi because he was Moses' brother, and he was also the high priest. They had Aaron, the high priest at the time, make a golden calf that they could worship the gods that they had that had been in Egypt, because they didn't feel that the true and the living God was going to deliver on his word. And about that time, Moses shows up and sees what's going on, and he's very angry, and he comes down, and I want to pick it up at verse 22. And Aaron said, "Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So that they gave it to me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf." Yeah. I'm sorry, chapter 32. Chapter 32 of Exodus. I'm sorry. Chapter 32 of Exodus, beginning at verse 22. And so this is the excuse that Aaron gave to Moses, his brother, over all the sin. He said, well, you know, the people have got a problem. They're sinful. And they asked me to do this. And then I did what they asked me to do. I just put this gold in, and out came out the calf. Moses didn't buy the excuse of his brother Aaron, nor he acknowledged that the people had a sin problem, and it was a real serious sin problem. And he said unto them, okay, so that's what Aaron's response was. This is what Moses says. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, I'm sorry, in verse 25, and this is what Moses' response was. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Okay? So he's giving a challenge. Everybody in the nation of Israel that was in the camp was involved on this. They are all sinning. They had all done what God had told them not to do. And when we go through this chapter in Exodus, there's more things I want to say, and I'm not going to say on that this morning. But he makes a challenge before them, and he calls them out and says, who's on the Lord's side? Now, out of the whole 12 tribes of Israel, any of them could have come forward. The only two that we know are standing there right now are Joshua and Moses, because Joshua was with Moses.